Everyone, welcome to another episode of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Hopefully you're having a wonderful day or night, depending on where you are and what time you are listening to this. This is episode 35, which is crazy to think. Every day is a new episode, hopefully, and a lot of our new audience members as well in our recent couple of episodes. A special shout out to Yaro from Invito Coffee, our last episode. He brought on a lot of new listeners and a lot of new audience members. So thank you for that, and thank you for sharing your story, Yaro. But today I have a different individual, a new individual, who I actually met about 3 years ago, I think. Yeah, I think like that. Something like that, 3 years ago. He just started off DJing. I won't spoil it too much, but let him introduce himself. But I've got Koji on the episode today. How you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. Yeah, no, super stoked to be part of the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you for taking your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love being able to just like express and chat and have this open space to, you know, share my ideas on being a creative and stuff. So thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, that's what the podcast is about. Again, you're our 35th individual or 35th episode, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But for those who don't know you personally, or for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? And after your introduction, why don't you tell us who you are today?
Cool. Yeah, let's do it. So, hey, what's up, guys? My name is Koji. I've been DJing for 3 years, and I've been making music on and off for about 5 years now. And I just graduated from UBC. That's where I kind of got my training as a DJ, I guess you could say, from Brent Mosher, actually. Yeah, big shout out to Brent Mosher for introducing me to the world of DJing. And from that, just kind of expanded into, you know, working events and whatnot, you know, becoming my own boss and creating gigs for myself. And also, you know, using that as a leverage to build the brand name and whatnot. So that's kind of who I am. And who I am today is completely different from like what I built myself up to be. but not in a bad way at all. You know, it's like, obviously at this time, all the events industry and all like the nightlife industry is completely shut down or mostly shut down. And so I've really had to like rearrange how I, you know, where I put my time and my focus. And it's actually been a huge blessing because it's been giving me so much time to focus more on like the production side of things, which is what I originally wanted to do, you know. You know, like it's so hard to DJ, especially during these times, because like live streams, they don't really go as well as planned. And I'm the kind of person that really needs to feed off the energy of the crowd and really need people to be there reacting, because that energy exchange is like really why I DJ. So because of that, that doesn't exist anymore. It's like I've had to channel the creative energy to a different avenue, and it's gone into production, which has been awesome. It's been so much fun. Yeah.
Let's rewind a little bit before we kind of dive into the production aspect. And
yeah,
I said at the beginning, where we actually first met and what kind of mutual interest was DJing at the time. Yeah. I was interested in music as well, and DJing obviously didn't really pan out to do much with that, but hey, at least I tried it, you know?
Yeah.
So, sorry, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, it's never too late to like pick it back.
Yeah. Honestly, that was one of the things that I was considering, like obviously with this whole quarantine thing, was to give it another shot and just play around with it. But I know I'm happy obviously with what I'm doing and focusing on like things like this as the podcast and
totally
and other aspects of creativity. But yeah, so when I first met you, obviously you were just kind of starting the ropes and everything like that. So why don't you share, because I've only had one other DJ on the podcast. You probably know him, Chris. Most Wanted.
Chris Wan, yeah.
Both DJ. UBC, man. There you go. UBC is just bringing out all the DJs, right? So
slowly but surely, yeah.
So he was the first DJ, obviously, on the show. But I'm curious in terms of, obviously, his path and your path are going to be a little bit different. I'm curious to see or hear how exactly you got involved with everything. I know you said Brett was kind of introduced you into the world of music, but maybe just the path on how you got to kind of where you are today and how you continue to grow and learn.
Totally, yeah. Well, I mean, like coming into university, I had no expectation to become a DJ at all. It's just one of those things that kind of like life presented itself, and it's just like, hey, you should do that. And like, God bless Brent. He kind of took me under his wing and trained me to be his DJ. And we were both, the way we actually met was through this thing called King Camp, which is like orientation. And he was a DJ there, and it's like I was dancing, and like we kind of got along at that time. So after that, he brought me over to his house and let me play around in the decks. And from that, like I went over a couple times and he was just like, oh, hey man, it's like, I have this formal that I'm doing like so-and-so. Do you want to come play that with me? And I was just like, oh my God, like, hell yeah. Like, I'm so down. So yeah, we kind of just like practiced up there and my God, it was a terrible set. Like, it was so bad.
That was your first time?
Very first time playing in front of people. Yeah, it was abysmal, you know, but the thing that mattered most was just how much fun I had and like how much fun everyone else had around me, just seeing me do what I love, you know, and, you know, being able to play music for people and give them enjoyment as well. So that summer I picked up my own little deck. It was like a shitty little plastic deck and, practiced all summer. And then sure enough September came around. And at the time I was still in Fiji. I guess I still technically am in Fiji, but, we were going into the third year of Fiji and the DJ that was there before had kind of transitioned out, or like he wasn't really DJing anymore. So we needed a DJ. So it kind of like filled in the slot. And from there, sure enough, so many, you know, there was like gigs weekly, right? So I just kept playing and playing, and eventually like the name got out and Brent was just like started bringing me on to calendar. Actually, no, Brent actually had me on for the calendar events throughout the summer. The calendar is another organization at EBC. Yeah. And so between the frat parties and the EBC calendar parties, I kind of like started building a name up for myself and you know, meeting people at all these parties and stuff. And then sure enough, come January, I believe Generosity gave me a gig downtown at Republic. It was their Renew Year's event. And, yeah, it was just crazy. Cause like, that was just like the next step. It was my first gig downtown. And then from that, more people heard about it, heard about me. I met this guy, Mr. Floetic. He took me under his wing and kind of showed me the ropes of the downtown scene. And yeah, it was just kind of like, just like more
domino effect kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. Just more doors kept opening up the more gigs I did, you know. It's just one of those things where it's like a really slow start, you know. Like that summer I was banging my head against the wall, just being like waiting for the next gig. Like, oh, I can't wait, you know. And then like, sure enough, when up until gigs were still happening in, I believe it was March, I was literally exhausted, you know. I was just had too many gigs. Like I was trying to turn down gigs. I was giving gigs to my friends and whatnot. But yeah, no, it was
that's just a good like, problem like, to have though, probably.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Never a shortage of work. But yeah, no, it was just like that domino effect of like always taking whatever gigs came my way, you know, being as like trying to network with those people at those gigs, trying to be respectful, really trying to present myself and do a really good job. You know what I mean? Is what it came down to. And it kind of just, I didn't know what I was doing. Things were just kind of happening. I was rolling with it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but I think, and from what I've seen, at least like myself personally, I'm not too involved with the EDM scene, at least in UBC. Mm-hmm. Like I listen to EDM and stuff like that. But from what I've seen out of you and also Chris is, and I think what a lot of people fail to realize is the importance of not just being obviously good at what you do, which in this case is like DJing and the music aspect, but also the aspect of building a brand, right? And building a name around yourself and using things like social media and networking to be able to, because you can be the best of the best, but if you don't put yourself out there in one way or another, no one's really going to find out who you are.
Totally, right? Yeah.
Or they will, but it might be a little bit harder than another way. So how's that been for you, kind of building, you know, the brand aspect of it? And was that difficult or?
Yeah, it was definitely really interesting for sure. Like I personally don't have like a background in marketing or branding or whatever. So I had to start from square one. And you know, it's like I really wanted to reflect who I was in the branding and whatnot. So I took a very like Japanese, like Asian approach.
Yeah. And show them the stickers, man. Show them the stickers.
The little stickers right there. Yeah. It kind of just like, it was at first, it was just like a really bad, like Japanese font and it was so blocky and gross. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, you know, it's like people, I didn't even really like think about it, because in my head it was just like, oh yeah, this is good enough. Like I've got a DJ logo or whatever, like this is all good. And then it was actually all my friends and like the people around me and the people that I was working with that kind of ushered me to like keep building the brand. Because it's like, you know, it's like, I didn't know what the next steps were. I didn't know how to grow this thing that I was creating. It was more just like people suggesting like, hey, like your logo is like pretty bland, like you should try and like spice it up a little bit. So use my connections from, you know, all the gigs and meeting people and whatnot, like got a graphic designer to do my logo, redo the logo, etc. And then it's just like rebranded the logo, and then it just kind of like built upon that, you know. It's like all the gigs like and whatnot, like you said, like Instagram is like a really, really good platform for like, you know, showing like what you have going on and inviting people and whatnot. But yeah, no, I think I even now it's like I don't even know what I'm really doing branding wise. You know what I mean? I'm
trying to, like, are you on TikTok by any chance?
Yeah, I actually just hopped on a couple of days ago because I figured it's like might as well make some content there. Like, I guess it's like a little bit different now. It's like now it's more just like how, like what kind of content should I make? Whereas before it was like, okay, it's like how am I gonna tell people like what gigs I have? How am I gonna tell people to like bring people out? Like how am I gonna, you know, like connect with people so that they want to come to my gigs?
Yeah, you know, it's like building your, especially now with obviously with quarantine and everything, it's building your audience online or digitally. Yeah, and then totally. From there, once you know everything starts opening up and you know goes back to normal, then from there people can just be like, okay, now I can see, you know, them live, or I can go mm-hmm. see them actually do stuff. So, and the reason that I brought up TikTok is yeah. just because I always see this one DJ, I don't know yeah. his name, but he does like a bunch of throwbacks. Like he'll do like 10 songs yeah. and then he'll play like those 10 songs in about 45 seconds. And
oh really?
So it's like really interesting, and yeah. but I've only seen him on TikTok, but he's been blowing up a lot. So I'm assuming there's some traffic in his other socials, but
oh totally yeah.
There's obviously a lot of good options there, but yeah, I think it's a matter of figuring out what exactly works for you, what you enjoy making as well, right? And from totally, there,
yeah.
being able to continue to build your audience. So
yeah, I mean personally for me, it's like I think my biggest strength as a DJ wasn't actually the music. Or anything, because it's just like little DJ secret, we play like the same 80% of the songs every set, you know what I mean? But like no one notices. I think my strength really lied in like being able to like, you know, hop out of the booth and actually connect with the audience, you know, like face to face. Like I'm personally like a very extroverted person. I love connecting with people and like finding out about who they are and like really building that connection. And so a lot of my branding wasn't actually building that online audience, it was taking the people that I knew in my life and showing them through that social media channel.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I like that.
But now it's like completely different, right? Cause it's like, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate with that. For me, it's like, I'm also like to consider myself an extroverted person. And one of the reasons why I started this podcast was to have an opportunity to chat with people, right? Totally, I used yeah. to do these in person in studio, but obviously those options are a little bit limited right now. So we had to move it over to Zoom, our favorite platform.
Oh yeah.
Still waiting for my sponsor, but that's neither
we'll
here
get one.
Nor
we'll
there.
Get one soon. Yeah.
But so being able to do these digitally still allows me to have these awesome conversations. And as you mentioned, just being able to create a platform and a space for creatives like yourself and entrepreneurs mm-hmm. and et cetera, to everyone, just come yeah. out here and just chat about, you know, what they do. So fast forward now, obviously, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, to the more the production aspect of it. And you yeah. talked about how this time of, again, quarantine has allowed you to kind of focus on that. How was your transition actually from, and I'm curious because I feel like everyone transitioned a little bit different from going yeah. from doing gigs like literally almost every day or a yeah. couple a week to none at all. And was that like a tough space mentally for you to kind of accept, or maybe just kind of run it through your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I struggled with it. Very much so, you know, for like about a month, I just like didn't know what to do with myself because it's like I had like about like 2 or 3 months of gigs and like booked out. Like I had exam season coming up, so I had that all planned out. Like I'm personally the kind of person that likes to have like the hour to a schedule to the hour.
Yeah.
So it's like when quarantine hit and there was
yeah,
quarantine.
Oh yeah, calendar's just blank.
And I just exactly, and I just didn't know what to do with myself for that time. You know, it's like. My love for DJing was still there, but I couldn't do it, you know, and so it was really trying to figure out how to channel, or I guess in general, it was the love for music was there. So it was trying to figure out how to channel, you know, the habits that I had of, you know, the DJing and stuff. And like, how do I apply that energy to something that I can do at that time? And so for the last couple of months, it's really just been like transitioning over to like building really good habits towards making music. And you know, not so much worrying about gigs and DJs, and it's great. Like it's been as tough as it was, it's also just been so amazing to have all this time to do everything that I want, and also just like not having to work because CERB has been so great for creatives, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm curious too, I think especially since you mentioned, or I don't know if you mentioned it right now, mm-hmm. but like graduating and everything,
yeah,
what's been kind of the approach with kind of this, I guess, gray area, or kind of this time of unknown, obviously for recent grads or people going into their last year of university with obviously what's going on in the world. Has music allowed you to kind of focus those thoughts into different avenues? I know obviously production and taking it into your actual, you know, songs maybe eventually.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, the biggest thing that I realized at this time is like, it's such a good time to plan for the future and like, you know, give yourself those building blocks so that whenever the right moment comes or like whenever stuff goes to normal, I guess for some people it wouldn't really even matter, but it's just like, in terms of, in my case, it's like with music and whatnot, it's like I want to be able to build a catalog of music and like build my skills and whatnot, and this is the perfect time to do so. And when things open up and I can start doing events and DJs, then I'll have like a huge bank of stuff that I can just put out and not have to stress about making more stuff if I get too busy. You know, if my schedule goes back to the way it was, DJing like 5 nights a week and also doing like school full time, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So what's been kind of the, because I talked to Chris about this and other DJs as well, not necessarily on the podcast, but just in general. I feel like the transition from, you know, taking that step or that initiative to actual making your own music has sometimes been a challenge for some DJs.
Totally, yeah.
How's that been for you, especially maybe in the time where you went from not DJing at all to now jumping into music production?
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. I started music production before I started DJing.
Oh, okay.
So it all started in like grade 12, or I guess right after I graduated from high school.
Some garage band, some beats, you know?
Exactly. Well, even before then, I was part of this dance program, and I was the only kid that knew how to use GarageBand, and I needed to do like 40 edits for like dance recitals and stuff, and like my teacher like begged me to do it, and so like I got a bit of skill there, and then it's like afterwards I was kind of like, oh, like I want to actually like, I want to go a little bit deeper. So I got Logic and started producing on Logic, and then again like fell in love with it, realized I was like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted to do. I it's funny, it's like after I got accepted to UVC, I actually told my parents, I was like, hey, like I actually want to go to recording school, is that okay? They're like, no, get your degree, like you don't know what university like can offer you. And like, thank God I did, you know, like help me build myself up. But then it's like I got busy with school and started DJing, kind of like let production on the back burner, and it's like now I can like come back and revisit producing again.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it's been a time of like, yeah, almost kind of the phoenix rising from the ashes, almost this exactly. ability to touch, you know, something that you started off with music wise. And that's good, I think, as well for a lot of other individuals as well. Creatives, again, especially, I think like this time, and you mentioned it earlier, this time for creatives has been rather unique. Some people have allowed this to this time of, you know, kind of even self-reflecting and isolation. Oh, yeah. For their time to look back at recent skills or recent hobbies or stuff that they've never really touched upon. I know a couple of people pick up like, you know, drawing again, or some people pick up some different things that they just haven't had the time for.
Yeah. And well, the thing, when I was like very like confused about everything, what to do, my dad actually gave me like really good advice. It's like, do what you were meant to do. You know, it's like, you don't have to worry about, you know, all the daily stresses of like going out and going to school and like, you know, going to class or any of that stuff. You don't have to worry about all these gigs. It's like you have all this time to do exactly what you want to do or what you're supposed to be doing. So just do it, you know, like don't overthink it. Just do what you think you're supposed to be doing at this time.
Yeah. And I like that. I think that's a great approach. And not just for, I think for almost all aspects of life, you can almost kind of have that mentality, right? You're going in and, you know, things are that are outside of your control or obviously not going to change. So just do what you can and do what you can focus on. So I like that. That's a good mentality to have. So for those who are listening right now, obviously, who are maybe interested in starting to DJ and or make music or already involved in that kind of industry or space one way or another, I'm curious to maybe hear a little bit more of, specifically for university DJs, what would you recommend in terms of the steps that you took or maybe steps that you wish you took looking back? For those younger individuals who are, you know, obviously right now, probably just virtually, but further down the road, who can utilize that advice one way or another.
That's a really good thing. I really want to give like good advice, but it's like there's so many pieces of advice that I could give right now. I think the biggest thing is just get involved like with different groups and organizations. You know, like obviously it's like you're a DJ, you want to DJ parties and stuff, right? So like find groups that help, you know, give you accessibility to that. So it's like for me, it was The Calendar, which is an events company, and Fraternities, which at the time were bumping with parties. You know, it's like we had parties every week for the month of September. And you know, if you don't directly want to get involved, like I know, for example, it's like joining a fraternity might not be for everyone. Like get connected with someone in that fraternity who can give you the opportunity to do so. You know, that's kind of like one way to do it. The other way is just go to shows and talk to people, or like talk to the performers and stuff. You know, I've never had a problem. The only time I've had a problem with someone coming up to me is if they request like a ridiculous
play song, Despacito. I mean?
Exactly, right? So it's just, oh god, that brings me back real quick.
Some traumatic memories, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like I honestly personally really appreciated anyone who was able to come up and be like, hey, like I really like your music, or like, hey, you've been rocking the crowd all night or whatever. It's like, how can I like come to your next show or whatever? You know, it's like that to me is just like, oh my god, you went out of your way to like give me a compliment. So it's like obviously next time if I see you at the next show, and like if I remember you, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to remember, but I'll do my best to like, you know, make sure that you're taken care of, and that whatever you gave to me, you get returned in tenfold. You know, obviously not everyone is going to be like this, but I think that is probably the best approach to get connected with those people that, you know, have already paved the way per se, I guess. You know what I mean?
I think the most important thing about not just DJing, but almost any kind of entertainment business, I would say, and this obviously, at least in my opinion, goes outside of that as well, is the networking aspect, and also not being afraid to step out of your comfort zone when it comes to like saying hi to people, but also not necessarily burning any bridges. So obviously you might not get along with every single individual you meet, but doesn't necessarily mean that you gotta, you know, burn the bridge, so to speak, because everyone knows each other, I swear, one way or another. Everyone's connected. Yeah. I can imagine probably with the events and DJ industry in Vancouver. I'm sure, you know, the owner of one knows the owner of the other, who knows that guy, who knows that person. Just everyone gets along. Everyone knows each other, doesn't necessarily get along, but works together professionally, right? And I think that's
like the most important thing. You know, it's like you can't bring any personal stuff into the business, or else things are obviously going to get messy. And it's like I've made a couple of mistakes in that realm and it's like I had to learn, you know. I can give a specific example. All right, well, there was this.
You can leave names out if you want.
I'm not gonna name names. I'm not gonna name organizations or anything. But there was a girl that I was seeing, and then we were working on the same team together. And then we both decided to like take higher up positions, and both of us were. And I was kind of just like pulled back a little bit. I was like, hey, like I don't think we should mix like personal life and business and stuff. Like I think we should just like go our separate ways and work it out. But obviously it didn't come across like that, and there was a lot of miscommunication and stuff, and it's like for a year we were bound by contract to work with each other, and it was like so difficult, and it like spread, you know, it's like it spread around to like everyone. Like everyone knew, the whole tension was there and whatnot, but it's like we didn't have a choice but to work together. And that was, my god, it was a difficult year, but it's like it helped me learn, it helped me grow. And because I had that difficult year, it's like now I'm working for another events company now. And like, I feel like because of what I had to go through, I don't want to say of what I had to go through. That makes it sound like it was like a terrible experience. It wasn't the worst experience. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
Because like now the team that I'm working on now is so much easier to work with. I don't have to deal with all like the personal stuff. It's professional. Business is good and things get done quicker.
Yeah, it gives you a different perspective, right, of how to approach these kind of situations, and a perspective that you might not have gotten if that situation hadn't happened, right? So it's all learning experiences, no matter how big or how small. So those are always important to translate into your next, you know, whatever opportunity or position that you take. So if you hadn't learned from that, that's when, you know, sometimes it can get an issue, and things sometimes can get messy, as you mentioned. So
yeah, I think the biggest thing is just like, you know, like mistakes are gonna happen. It's like almost unavoidable to like make mistakes. I wouldn't worry too much about making those mistakes. I actually encourage those mistakes to be made so that you can learn from them. You know what I mean?
Speaking about mistakes, and I asked Chris the same question. At least I think I did. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
What was, besides maybe the first event that you had mentioned, that formal, your very first gig, what was the kind of like the biggest uh-oh moment?
There's been a lot of minor details and issues here and there. I mean, for the most part, most of it's gone pretty smoothly, I'd say. I mean, actually, there was this one time, I don't know what it was. It was an Oktoberfest party that I was playing, and the connector that I have a new Mac, so I had to get the adapter.
Yeah, the adapter life.
And for some reason, I guess it was like cold, so the metal shrunk or something. But it's like the adapter was like super touchy, so anytime the bass would hit, the music would cut.
Yeah.
And it like happened like 10 times, and I was inexplainable. I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily I had another DJ playing that night. So I was just like, hey man, like you're going to need to take over for the rest of the night. Like my shit's bugging. I don't know what to do anymore. It's not working. Yeah. So, and it's like, I didn't have a backup or anything, right? It's like, that was the only connector that I had at the moment. So, I unfortunately couldn't play the rest of the night, which sucks. Oh God. So that was more of like a technical mistake. A personal mistake is just like, and this I'm sure happens to everyone too. It's like you drink a little bit too much and you say some things that you shouldn't. You upset some people that are, you know, have got a big mouth or whatever. And it's like your name gets out there. Your name gets blemished a little bit because of their reputation or whatever, right? It's like, I think just like, you know, go out and have fun as a DJ, go have fun, have a couple drinks and whatnot, but make sure you don't like tip over the edge. And I know it's like so easy to do so, because in the industry, it's like, you just like a lot of time, it's like people will cater to you and be like, we'll bring you free drinks and stuff, but just like know your limit and don't be an idiot. Like, or like, I guess be an idiot, but learn from it.
Yeah. Those are some good words of advice right there. I like just, that.
Yeah.
No, it's funny that you mentioned the tech aspect of it, because I think that's another component that a lot of people don't realize is that, okay, yeah, you are in control of obviously the, you know, the way that you mix the music and the music that you choose, but some of the stuff is sometimes out of your control, right? Like power goes out, adapter doesn't work, all these like minor issues that can completely ruin the vibe.
Yeah.
And again, it's something that you're obviously not doing it on purpose, right? So it's a matter of being obviously hopefully prepared for those situations, but also understanding that, you know, sometimes that stuff happens.
I mean, just have like a backup plan for it, for anything, right? Like, and some things are just unforeseeable, right? Like maybe it's like, I don't know, God forbid, it's like a lightning strikes the building that you're at and just power goes out for the entire block. It's like, there's nothing you could have done there. You know what I mean? But like maybe next time it's like, maybe just see if there's like a backup generator somewhere. You know what I mean? Like
check the weather report, maybe see what's going on. If there's a thunderstorm, we probably wouldn't want to host a party.
Yeah, just have a bunch of like metal gear just right in the middle of the dance floor.
Man. No, but that's those are the hidden stories or the untold stories of DJing. But we talked about again a little bit about this before we started kind of recording and everything, but something that I did want to bring up and something that I personally, again, struggled with, and you mentioned obviously prior to the whole quarantine situation, you were kind of going from here, from to there, calendar, you know, hour to the T, you kind of had an idea of what your schedule was like, and obviously transitioning to mostly not having that. What's been kind of the habits that it's either been difficult to keep as a creator or even have been exemplified with quarantine?
Yeah, totally. I think the biggest thing for me was just like shifting the focus from, you know, like starting to like build those habits of like producing and whatnot, you know, spending every day in this, like, you know, building the habit of like making music every day or like being creative every day in some way, shape or form, and then expanding that into like sub things. So it's like maybe for an hour I'll like learn how to produce, and then for another hour it's like I'll actually produce in the box or whatever, you know. It's like growing and expanding those things. And like having, like creating a plan of action, you know what I mean? Of like how you're going to approach it. Like, so for me, it's like at first it's like, and one of the biggest things that I did was, this thing called the 30-day challenge. Like that kind of like boosted me into production. It was like, essentially it's just like the whole idea is just for 30 days, just make something, you know. It doesn't matter what you make. It doesn't matter if it's a good idea or a bad idea. It doesn't matter if it's a finished song or just a couple of chords. It's more just like getting into the habit of getting into the studio every day, creating something. And you know, just really trying to dig deeper into it. And then afterwards it was like, I was like, oh, okay, well, it's like I produced for 30 days straight. I guess I can keep doing it. And then I was able to like build on top of that, you know?
Yeah. What's been kind of inspiration for you when it comes to kind of creating these songs and producing?
There's a feeling. I know it sounds like cheesy or whatever, but it's just, it's that feeling that there's like a certain feeling that you get when, and like as a DJ, it's like I've been listening, I've had this feeling for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Is you know, when a certain song, each songs have different like energies and they connect with different people differently, but for me it's like the biggest thing is just like, oh, can it make me move? How is it making me move? How does it make me feel? Like, how do I want to express myself? You know, it's like a song will make, like a sad song for example, well, you know, I don't really want to move or anything, I just want to listen, be like emotionally enveloped in that song. Whereas like a more dancey track, it's like, of course I want to like, you know, move and groove. It's got the energy. It's got that rhythm and groove that makes you want to, you know, it brings you out of yourself and you start kind of just like automatically just moving, right? So for me, it's just like every day, it's like, how do I translate what I'm feeling this day into a song, you know? And most of the time, it's like a lot of the time, it's like very rarely will I be like, oh, like I need to capture this feeling. I need to do something. It's more just like, I'll play around a little bit. Yeah. And then a feeling will come to me. The song will start talking to me about like where it wants to go or like how it wants to feel, you know? I don't know. Does that make sense?
It makes sense for me because I feel the same way when honestly, you know, I'm not producing music, but mm-hmm. I feel the same way whenever I start, writing, like totally, doing blog posts. Right. So I just write whatever's on my mind, whether it's inspiration from, you know, the day or inspiration with a person that I just had a conversation with. I draw from those emotions and draw from those feelings. And it's obviously a little bit different as, you know, typing as producing or creating a beat or creating a chord or whatever. Yeah. But it's the same kind of concept. And I think it's the same thing goes for other creatives as well, right?
If you're, it's that flow state, right? Like once you hit that flow state or like you just go, like you don't even think about what's going on. Things just come out of you. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately and it's like a lot of the things that comes up is like you don't actually create the art, it's just you're just a vessel for the art. So it's like the universe has all these great ideas or the universe has these like brilliant, you know, masterpieces floating around, and essentially it's like when you sit down, it's you just become a vessel for that idea or that song or that blog post or whatever to be transcribed into what we can perceive, you know what I mean?
I like that. And I think the beauty about those kind of things, and you know, you being the vessel, is that each person is unique, right? And each person will provide a different perspective when it comes to certain things, whether it's a song again or written content or video content or whatever you have So I think that's what in my opinion, what makes, you know, I think creating now especially such a unique opportunity for a lot of different people, because no DJ is going to be the same. No photographer is going to be the same. Everyone is doing similar style, similar craft, but doing it in a different aspect, in a different way.
Yeah. And it's like, so multi-level too. It's not just like just the art. It's also like how you present it or like how you brand and market it. Like we were talking about earlier, or like how you, like whether you want to like share it to a lot of people or just a few people, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's different ways to approach it. Definitely. And I think that's what makes, again, creating such a wonderful way. And again, it doesn't have to be necessarily for, you know, monetary purposes or even like that. Even people who do it for a hobby or just as a way to distress, right? Or de-stress and kind of put their emotions onto, again, paper or whatever.
I actually got a question for you. how do you, like, obviously it's like, how do you get over writer's block? You know, or like what's your kind of process for getting past those situations? You know?
Yeah, I've definitely, at the beginning of quarantine, that was a huge, like I was just not feeling anything at all. You know, I was gaming 24/7. Mm-hmm. It was bad. So one of the things that actually allowed me to kind of overcome not just writer's block, but I think creative's block in general, was the ability to remove myself from, I guess, I don't want to say like the world, but like just remove myself from what was actually putting me in this like negative state, which again was staying indoors. And at the beginning, obviously that was a little bit difficult, but once things started to become a little bit more safer, just even going for walks, just as you can see, it's rather sunny. Just, I have a park literally right outside my house. So go for a walk there. disconnect, don't bring my phone, don't bring anything. Just literally, just as, again, as cheesy as it sounds, just go out there and breathe in the fresh air. And and even prior to quarantine, I never did that. And I never really was like a disconnect kind of guy, just because similar to you, I was always on the move. It was like meetings or school or work, you name it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it was in a time for me to, I guess, slow down the brain or slow down the mind. And once I started doing that on a regular basis, and I would come back and just try to think of stuff that I wanted to do, whether again it was writing or podcasts or anything, it was just a lot more clear and a lot more just clear in the sense of the ability for me to think of an idea, the ability of me to think a topic for a blog post. Digging more specifically into writer's block, I think for me it's just, at least the way that I write is similar to you. I just kind of put all my information, you know, on paper or on, you know, I type it all out. It might not be the most cohesive piece of writing, but then from there, take a step back, look back at it later, see, okay, this is what I was trying to get across, and just kind of edit from there.
And polish it,
just polish it all off. I know for some people, it's like, okay, you have to have like everything to the T so that when you're writing it, like almost the first draft is pretty much the best draft. But for me, that's just not the way that I work. Music, meditating, started meditating as well. I use the, I think it's called Headspace app on my phone.
I was using
it as well.
Fantastic, man.
It's awesome. Oh my God. Just like these smaller or small, you know, quality of life changes, so to speak, that again, that I never really took for, that I never really considered prior to all of this, but, being, you know, surrounded by the same environment for months, you know, literally months now, definitely put a toll on my creative side. So I needed a way to not just escape physically, but also almost escape mentally. And again, these are different things that, you know, some people might struggle to, you know, consider or believe and be like, oh, that's just, you know, even for me, again, speaking honestly, I thought it was all kind of like BS, right? And I was like, no, just meditating doesn't work. It's all like, just go work, right? And I was stuck in that tunnel vision mindset.
Oh my goodness.
I'm just like, go, go, go. And, you know, don't stop, don't rest. You know, you're young. It doesn't matter. You know, drink another cup of coffee.
Oh God, I've been there.
So when I had, you know, this, when we all had this transition, I was just like, wow, it's not healthy. It's not sustainable. Maybe I should take a different approach to it. And ever since I started implementing these kind of smaller things and these daily things and make them a routine, I'm actually reading a book right now called The Power of Habit. And I highly recommend that to anyone who's wanting to build habits in their life. And it's the cue, it's the routine, it's the reward.
It absolutely is. I've actually been meaning to read that book.
Yeah, like, it's a solid book. It's a little bit more scientific in the sense of, like, you may not necessarily be able to implement some of the things right away, but it just gives you the science of how habits are built, why people think, you know, in habitual ways, and just how the mind thinks. And again, it's, for me, I think this last, what are we at? We're almost into September now. So these last 5 months have really been a bit of like a 180 almost in the way that I approach certain things in life and the way that I think in life. And you know, as we both mentioned earlier, these times where, you know, are a bit, you know, unique, well, not a bit unique, they are unique, has allowed at least me, and I'm sure other people as well, and from what it sounds like yourself as well, to just be able to find yourself a little bit more deeper and find your flow states and be able to work a little bit, you know, not harder but smarter in general. But that's a really long answer to, you know, how do I get over his writer block?
No, I think I really want to touch on that point of, you know, like the tiny little habits, you know, like eating a little bit healthier or like sleeping a little bit earlier will do so much for you. Will do so much more than like grinding out like an extra 8 hours. You know, it's like doing an eight, like thinking that you're going to make, you know, maybe you'll get motivated one day, right? And be like, okay, I'm going to work for the next 8 hours to like work on this. Or it's, let's say 7 hours, just for the sake of this example. And that is going to only take you half as far as doing an hour every day a week. You know what I mean? And it's a lot easier to do those smaller things. Like, for example, it's like an example for me is I used to, you know, spend every Sunday getting 200 songs or whatever for new sets for that week or whatever, right? And like, I found that by like 100 songs, I was like bored. I was getting distracted. Like, I didn't care about it anymore. So it's like, I cut it down to like 15 songs a day. And that's the first thing that I do, you know, have a cup of coffee, download 15, find 15 songs or whatever, and add them to the playlist. And I find it's like, I'm so excited about that every day now. Like, that's what I get to do. And it contributes so much. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's like, you're not going to like skip out on it because it's a habit. and it's like gonna grow. You know, obviously it's, I can't really reap the rewards right now. I can't see people dancing all this music, but it's like as soon as quarantine's over and events are coming in, it's like I'll have like thousands of new songs to play for people.
And that's a perfect example, without diving too much into the book or anything. That's a perfect example. Your cue is, you know, waking up, getting your cup of coffee. Your routine is the, you know, the 15 songs per day, and then your reward is, you know, finishing those 15 songs and being able to look forward to the next thing in your day, or just knowing that you've accomplished those 15 songs. And that's the same thing for me as well. Like when it comes to writing or even like working out again, now that some of the gyms are open, it's just building that into your routine. And again, I never was a believer, and you know, I always would build small habits here and there, but I never really thought about it, and never really focused on how can I really effectively build a better habit, or you know, consistent habit, so to speak. Until I started reading this book, and I'm like, oh, well, this starts making sense how people think. It
changes everything.
It changes a lot of things. So reading as well has been one of the things that I've been focused on a little bit more during this kind of quarantine time. And just not necessarily hard books, but I also a huge fan of Audible. I use Kindle as well on my iPad. So just whatever ways you can absorb all this stuff. And I think for me, it was always like, okay, well, you need to get the content that, or absorb stuff that you can apply right away in your life, or that gets an immediate ROI, right? Return on your investment. But I think honestly, these big picture books, so to speak, in the sense of where it's, you know, more of a way to, I don't know, it sounds cheesy, but change the way you have a perspective on life, or perceive life, I think will provide a lot more value in the long term than maybe like a quick book that you just want to get through because you want to figure out how to do this or how to do that for this immediate task, right? So huge fan of that book. Another book, Deep Work as well by Cal Newport. That's a solid book in terms of getting into your flows.
Focused, getting focused and just no distractions or anything. I love that,
Yeah, so all these minor things, man, and it's all like, you know, minor, but in the long term will impact the way that you approach life. And, you know, once again, this is all over. It's building those habits that you have during this kind of time of isolation, you know, self-improvement.
Build yourself up.
I think you said this earlier, building the foundation, or putting the building blocks, right?
Totally,
for your future. So, I think that was a great little segment into kind of the near the end of our episode now, unfortunately. Yeah. But
this has been great. I've been having so much fun talking. Yeah.
The final question that I always ask, and you kind of touched upon this earlier when you gave advice to other people who wanted to start DJing or were kind of in the industry, but it's the way that I always kind of finish these conversations is, younger self, what piece of advice would you give to that individual?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd say don't look for one big like magic trick that'll like change everything. It's all about the smaller things, you know, whether it's DJing or music production or networking or building a company or whatever your kind of your passion is. It's like there's no easy quick route to where you want to get to. It's all like a thousand little tricks that you'll learn, you know. It's like, so like, you know, every day spend 5-10 minutes learning about one new trick that you can do in your creative, you know, whether it's like for you if it's a writing style, like, or for me where it's like a new production tip or kind of technique or whatever. It's like all of those will add up to become who you are. Don't look for the big, like that big one secret that'll break the industry or whatever, because it doesn't exist.
It's like those YouTube ads, it's just like follow these 5 steps and you'll get like...
you have to get famous, and it doesn't work, bro. So don't waste your time on that. Enjoy the little things. That'll be my advice.
I like that. Enjoy the little things. Yeah, I think especially it's a little bit harder right now with what's going on in the world. Enjoy the little things. Enjoy the time that you have, obviously, with loved ones, family members, etc. And make the most of it. And I think, you know, if you're out there trying to, you know, chase your passion, if it's music, writing, whatever you name it, you know, create habits. But at the same time, know that it's not going to be an overnight success. And I think that's you know, with social media and that kind of culture, the hustle culture or whatever, a lot of the times people think you'll get famous overnight, or you're gonna, you know, do certain things right away. But it's the waiting game, right? It's the long term stuff. It's a marathon. So
absolutely,
that's a great way to end it. I think that's a wonderful piece for all of our listeners. Hopefully, you've enjoyed this episode. I know near the end of it, we kind of went on more personal development stuff, but I think right now that's really important. And hopefully, yeah, if you haven't done so already, check those two books out. Deep Work by Cal Newport and The Power of Habit by, I don't know his name, but just Google The Power of Habit. The cover is a yellow cover with like red bike. So yeah, where can they find you, Koji? Where can they find you? Where can they keep updated with your work?
Yeah, right now I've got a couple tracks on SoundCloud at KOG. My Instagram is dj.kog. We're currently working on branching out to like YouTube and some other platforms and whatnot, but so just that. And one, like, if you've made it to the end of this episode, like, hit me up. I want to talk to you, because it's like, if you can make it through a podcast, it's like, you're an interesting person. So like, hit me up and let's chat. And like, I'd love to get to know you. So
I like that. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a great little CTA for everyone out there, but we'll have all of his socials as well on the podcast description. So make sure to send him some BV love. One final note as well, as we reach episode, 36 after this one, we are going to be doing something special for episode 40. So keep your eyes out for that.
Let's go.
It'll be fun. It'll be just kind of like a way to celebrate everyone so far in the audience. So thank you, everyone. Hopefully, again, you've learned something from this. Let me know as well, and whether it's, you know, through a DM or a comment, if this episode has helped you in one way or another. I've gotten a lot of great responses recently with people saying, you know, oh, that's a really interesting person. I'd love to learn more about that individual. So this is what this podcast is about, right? Finding unique creatives, individuals, people in general within our community that are doing awesome things. And let's just keep building this community, keep building this network, help each other out. And that's pretty much all I've got. Anything else you wanted to say for the audience?
Just keep life simple, do what you love, and chase your dreams.
So. I like it. Keep life simple, do what you love, chase your dreams. Wise words. All right, everyone. Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. This again has been episode 35 of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Have a good rest of your day, evening, wherever, whenever. Peace, everyone.
Much love.